they're already running with the narrative. This guy is the president. Look at him. He's got a dog. Love him. Please just love him like we love him. And if you don't love him, then you're not on board the unity train.
We should behave as they have behaved so tolerantly of the president and the election results from 2016.
Well, they have. I guess we got to start burning shit down.
The Mock and Daisy Common Sense Cast.
No one has common sense anymore. So, you know, welcome to another edition of the Mock and Daisy Show. I think for this week, we should talk a little bit about the fact that right now, with the election results in a state of flux, that the people on the left are telling us that we need to suck it up and just accept that Joe Biden is our president. Yeah. And, you know, just why do we got to be such babies about it? Why can't we just accept it like as well as they did?
Well, they're saying that it's not a state of flux. I mean, they're saying that there's no fluxation.
There's no fluxing and fluxing.
There's no fluxing at all, Mock. I mean, it's like it is a done deal. In fact, they've got Joe Biden has a dog. So it's
right. Case closed.
He's got a dog, damn it. And that dog was a rescue dog. And so,
why didn't you tell me it was a rescue?
Well, I mean, it was a rescue. And the media, I got a bone to pick. I always have a bone with the media because I can't stand our media. So the media is like, listen, it's the first rescue dog ever in the White House. It's the first rescue dog. And, you know, I'm all about the rescue dogs because we have rescue dogs, right?
As do I.
That's what I'm saying. You and me, because, you know, we live together. People think we live together.
Right.
Even though we totally don't. It's like people fantasize that we live together. We'll just keep putting it out there. So we have rescue dogs, you and me. So this is the thing, is that this is the spin that they're putting on the presidency now. They're like, it's the first rescue dog ever to be on the. It's not the first rescue dog. Actually, there have been two other rescue dogs in history. I will tell you.
I did not know this.
Was with Abraham Lincoln.
Really?
Yes. And I don't know what the breed was, but it was probably a mutt. And then the second one was with Lyndon B. Johnson, who I couldn't stand. That guy was kind of horrible to dogs, but he actually had another rescue dog. It was like a terrier. It was, yeah.
And God loves a terrier.
God does love a terrier. So this is the thing. There again, the media sucks so hard that they're not, they're like, oh yeah, Biden's the first one with the rescue dog. No,
but how does that even have anything to do with the conversation?
Well, it has, because what they're doing is they're already trying to endear him to the American people, because as you know, the media is like, we're totally in bed having sex with him because this is what we do. And media is like, we're Democrats, and the media are like, You know how they are. They're like teenagers making out under the bleachers all the time. They're totally in love with one another. It's gross. It's like, get your hands off each other. Like, it's so obvious. You guys are so hormonal for one another. It's just, at this point, it's just nauseating to anybody with half an adult brain, right? So this is what they're doing. They're already running with the narrative. This guy is the president. Look at him. He's got a dog. Love him. Please just love him like we love him. And if you don't love him, then you're not on board the unity train.
Right. I mean, never mind the fact that Whoopi Goldberg, for example, has not even uttered Trump's name in the past 4 years. She won't even say his name. And she's telling us to suck it up, like we should behave as they have behaved so tolerantly of the president and the election results from 2016.
Well, they have. I guess we got to start burning shit down.
Right. I mean, that's what that, if they want us to act like they did, do they really know what they're asking for? Are they really thinking this through?
I guess we have to go protest at the Hobby Lobby.
Right.
I mean, if that's the case, then we need to start figuring out where we're going to protest, because we got it, or where we have to start looting, because I want to loot some good places. Don't you?
I mean, the businesses have insurance. It's fine.
Right. And if we're supposed to loot, then at least let's loot the good stuff, like Williams-Sonoma.
Right.
Right. I need some good, you know, pots and pans. I haven't had really good pots and pans lately. I really do need some pots and pans. So if that's what we're going to loot, let's loot like the good high quality stuff, right?
The good goods.
The good goods. Yeah. But this is the thing. Now, after all these years of investigations, this has been nonstop. We've been like pummeled. It's been nonstop battering and beating and pummeling of this president. I feel like just by osmosis, we've all taken the beatings from the left.
For sure we have. I mean, we've been called every name.
Right.
And we've been told over and over again that this is an illegitimate presidency.
Right.
So they don't get to tell us about accepting election results. Sorry.
Exactly.
Y'all don't know how to do that.
It's unbelievable. Isn't it unreal how tone deaf they are?
It's mind-blowing.
And I just, do you think that there, this whole, like, we have to heal now, the message of, when I see him get up on a podium, and I say him, Biden, get up on a podium and start preaching to me about unity and healing, and we need to all come together now. I mean, I am like, I'm like this.
You're holding up your middle finger. I can see you.
Thank you. I mean, I'm in my house and I'm just looking at the screen going, you got to be kidding me. It's like James Woods put out that tweet the other day that I shared on our Instagram. I've never put an F-bomb on our Instagram page ever.
You even asked me for permission first.
Right.
So I was like, go forth and F-bomb.
Right. I mean, it's not like you and I have never used the F-bomb in our everyday vernacular, but I am not in the habit of putting the F-bomb on our Instagram page. I won't say it here, but I'll read it. It's like it was.
You can read it.
Can I read the F-bomb?
Yeah.
Valen's going to have to probably bleep this out. Okay, I'm going to read it. She's probably like, ah, oh, geez. But James Woods was like, this is what he tweeted. He tweeted it. I don't know what the date was. It was a couple days ago. He put, and just like that, the rioting and looting has ceased overnight, and now the half of the country that pummeled America like a battered wife is telling her to put on sunglasses, hide her black eye, be a good girl, and come together as one. Her answer, go f*** yourself.
Right. That's exactly my attitude. You don't get to tell me about unity and coming together.
Right.
No.
Right. No. I mean, it's like, I didn't, you know, I don't like, you know, putting the F-bomb out there, but I could not think of that encapsulates the feeling of us on the right perfectly. I just could not put out a better tweet. It was like, yeah, that pretty much says it all. I mean, I feel like we feel like battered women.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, they're basically saying to us, they're there. You know, just we beat you up for the past 4 years. Suck it up, buttercup. It's, mm-hmm. you know, now just shut up and just don't talk about the beatings that you've taken over the past 4 years, you know, and now just act like everything's fine. No, we're not.
It's not fine.
Like, it's not fine. And you know what? I don't think that there's going to be any healing in this country. There will be
The only kind of unity that they want is just acceptance and agreement with their batshittery. That's the only kind, that's unity to them. It's not allowing us to have the freedom of a difference opinion.
Right. Groupthink.
Yeah. Unity to them means bend to our will.
Yeah.
And unless you do, you're, how dare you not unify?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And moreover, you know, we've been called all the things, right? We've been called racist, sexist, misogynist, white supremacists, right? Like, I mean, you and I have been called so many things for the past, you know, 13 years since we've had our website. And I, you know, I think of all the names that we've been called in the past year. Okay. Like, I've never been called a white supremacist until this presidential cycle. Right. Mm. And I'm like, white supremacist, like what's that? Like, what are you talking about?
You're white.
Well, I mean, obviously I'm like so transparent. I'm like, you can see my kidneys. If I, you know, I'm a see-through, I'm so white. But I mean, people have called us like names we've never even been called before just because of President Trump. Right. So I look at that and I'm like, okay, so if you think we're those things and now you're saying, let's all unify, why would you want to be friends with a white supremacist? If in fact you really think I'm a white supremacist, why would you want to be friends with me?
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't want to be friends with a white supremacist. Would you? I don't want to be friends with somebody. I don't want to be friends with a Nazi. Do you want to be friends with a Nazi?
Exactly. Well, so, and that's why I think that there's, you know, there's this sort of rebirth, the recirculation of that whole idea that's been floating around forever. I mean, we've posted on our website, I think back when Obama was elected, this idea of divorcing, like having an American country divorce where the left goes off and takes some territory over here. The right goes off, takes some territory over there.
Right.
And we just split because right now, and I think we mentioned this in an earlier segment together, we're not just on the same path looking for a solution to looking for different solutions to the same problem. Now we're looking for different paths. So let's just do it. Let's just break up and let's make this happen. And that that famous essay about divorcing in America is making the rounds again, and with good reason. I think some of these are differences that are irreconcilable.
Totally. I 100% agree. I think that we should absolutely split the country in half. Like, I don't think that there are a lot of people in the middle anymore. I think that if you are in the middle, what is wrong with you? Like, what, how? I'm serious. Like, are you just not paying attention? And maybe you should just go live in Canada, you know, because I don't understand how you can be in the middle anymore, because I feel like there's such a, you're left or right now. I mean, I really, I don't know how you can even be a moderate, because there's such a difference between leftist ideology and being on the right, being a conservative. There's just no middle ground anymore. There's no middle ground that we want completely different things, completely different.
I mean, the only thing I would say about that, because I totally agree, but I also feel like in some ways we are in the middle in terms of the scale of rationality. So there's extreme people on both sides of the aisle, and we're not extreme, or at least I don't view us as extreme. I see us more as reasonable. And I do believe that there's probably some people who are reasonable on the left. And we all hang out in this really big middle where there's still room and we accept each other's differences. But then there's the fringe that doesn't. There's the AOC of the left who's like, if you have white skin, you're racist, period. And then there's the fringe of the right who are like in the KKK. You know what I mean? And
I hear you.
Those extremes. I feel like there, if people could just not be extreme, there would not have to be this divorce. But I don't see any way around the divorce, because now the extremes have become so much bigger than they used to be. You know?
Yeah, but I think the problem is that the people that, you know, like a lot of the people on the left, people who were even in that bubble, like our little bubble, who are reasonable people, they have embraced the crazy. They said it's okay to call all those people on the right white supremacists. And we have people who we know who are reasonable people who are like, yeah, I mean, it's fine. Those people are racist. They're racist if they like Donald Trump. That's not okay.
And when you
embrace that groupthink, when you embrace it, then people get so exhausted by the groupthink on our, like our side, you know, per se. This is the people like us. We're just like, seriously, you can't just call a swath of people racist and then think that we're not going to be exhausted by that. Think that at some point we're not going to push back. You know, we pushed back in 2016 by electing Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. That's what we did. That was our pushback. There will be pushback and repercussions from this election, too. It's just going to be in a different way. I'm not exactly sure what that's going to be. It won't be violent, because we don't do things the way that the left does it. We just don't.
But no, that's definitely true.
Yeah, we don't handle things the way they handle it. We don't burn crap down. Right. We don't ruin people's businesses. We don't ruin people's lives. We don't try to cancel people. That's not what we do. That's just not how we are. We're Americans, you know. But I say that I'm not saying that they're not. I'm just saying that we believe in what the founding fathers believed, and we don't believe in destroying other people because they believe different things. We'll do it in a way that's legal. And we'll do it in a way that we do it with our pocketbooks. We'll do it in our way with voting. We'll do it in a very insidious way, I think. But we're going to do it. You know, what really gives me hope and motivation is that there are a lot of us, a lot more of us. You know, I look at what happened with this election, and I think there are a lot of people who really wanted him to be president again. You know, I there's a part of me that thought, you know, that Biden was going to get a lot more votes than he did. And then there was a part of me that thought, well, maybe I just didn't know what to expect with this election. And when I see the results of it, I'm like, there are a lot of people on our side. There are a lot of people who
still And that is encouraging.
Hi, I'm Sarah Carter, host of the Sarah Carter Podcast. Everywhere you look these days, we're seeing an aggressive effort to destroy what made America great, tearing down our history, attacking our freedoms, and canceling any person who dares to cross the progressive speech police. We cannot stand by and let this happen. It's time for the silent majority to become the unsilent majority. Join me on the Sarah Carter Podcast. Subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I wonder, because I read, I don't remember where I read it. I don't know if it was like New York Times or somewhere, but there was a piece about how, because of course, everybody talks about how divided we are and how it's worse than ever, right?
Yeah.
But then I read this piece about how the author of the piece was speculating, is it that we're as divided as everybody's talking about, or is it only that we're divided based on attention span? And it was really interesting because if you think about how often you hear people say, Twitter is not real, Facebook is not real, social media shows you the extremes of people. And really, there's a whole bunch of Americans just out living their lives that aren't political, that aren't paying attention. And they may not feel that sense of division that those of us who are really engaged and looking at every policy and every idea that comes out of both political parties, we're so hyper-focused on it that it divides us because we're paying attention, but people who aren't don't feel that same sense of division. And I just wonder if that's actually true. And maybe we aren't really as divided as it seems like we are because we're so plugged in.
It's interesting because now that I've started working this other job, I wondered if it would give me perspective, if it would give me a different perspective than I had working in radio. And it has. I mean,
really?
I've only been doing it for a week and a couple days. But it's, there's no talk of politics. There's nothing like that. And when I meet people, I often wonder, I wonder what that person thinks about politics.
Yeah.
Because you don't
know if they think about it
or if they think about it at all, because these people are so, we're very busy. We're very busy with what we do and we're very plugged into work. And so there's nothing political about what I do. Nothing. So it's very interesting being in a job that is not political, because I'm like, these people are, they're for 10 hours a day there or more, they're doing something that is not political. So I wonder, and they're not online looking and thinking about politics. So I wonder how that affects their psyche as opposed to how my psyche was affected being plugged into it 24/7 did it. Now, granted, I still obviously look at it every day because I still do this and I will always be plugged into it because I have such an avid passion for it,
Right. But that's my point, right? And maybe that author was really
dead on. Right. Yeah, I agree with it because I also have a friend that I talked to a couple of weeks ago. That was one of my good friends from college who she doesn't really pay much attention to it unless she has to. And then when she does, she probably turns on CNN, right?
Yeah. But then there's a frustration level that I have, you may have it too, about those people who aren't plugged in. Because at the same time, I want to shake some people and say, do you realize what's happening in our country?
Exactly.
Do you realize what's at stake?
Right.
Do you realize how important it is for you to know what's going on?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right. Because I also get questions. I get questions from people from high school that aren't plugged in. And I often just shake my head and I'm like, God, I wish they were more engaged.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, and that, it's kind of like we've said before, how we're at like a real crossroads,
totally.
Right? Because there's the people on one side that seem to want to tear down the entire country, all the values that we hold dear. And then there's, there's attacks on basic foundational principles of our country. And so I think one of the things that conservatives at least can look towards is an organization that we partner with, AMAC. AMAC is the conservative alternative to AARP. And you and I are big fans because,
totally. Yep.
I don't know why anybody would not want to be an AMAC member, especially when there's a choice. Because with AARP, you're just going to get bombarded with all of these mailers. Mm-hmm. And you know that they're supporting liberal causes that you disagree with. Mm-hmm. So AMAC does the opposite. AMAC actually uses the money that they get from members members, which again, not very much money at all. Mm-hmm. And they lobby for causes that actually matter to us. Yeah. That's why I love them.
Yeah. We always talk about activism and advocacy and stuff like that here and on our show and whatnot. And this is a really easy way to do that without having to really do anything.
Exactly.
You don't have to do anything.
And yeah. You get discounts to boot.
Right.
So you get all these benefits with just a tiny bit of money, and you get all these discounts, and you know that your money is actually being spent on causes that you care about.
Exactly.
So you and I are just asking anybody that's listening to our podcast right now, stand with AMAC. We do. We hope that you do too. We want to encourage everybody to join. You can do that by going to amac.us/chicks, amac.us/chicks. The benefits are great, but the cause even greater. So join today, amac.us/chicks. So maybe we don't need an actual divorce, but we need to be thinking about reaching out to the people who aren't engaged and telling them more clearly what's at stake. Yeah. I don't know how you do that. I mean, right now, the way that this election just went is that people vote. Nobody voted for Joe Biden. People voted because they were told that they should hate Trump because he's evil and racist and homophobic and blah. Nobody looks at Joe Biden and thinks, that's a guy I really want to be president. Nobody.
Yeah, it was all based on hatred. I don't. Did you hear what happened to Katy Perry?
No,
you didn't hear what happened to her. Katy Perry, you know, that last Friday night.
That chick,
yeah. Apparently, when she found out, because, you know, obviously it's not been called. It's just been called by the media, right? But when the media called that, or just proclaim that Joe Biden was our next president, which is a bunch of crap because they don't get to call that. But when they did, Katy Perry sent out some tweet. I'm paraphrasing. I just heard this on the news. She sent out some tweet saying, listen, I'm going to go call people in my family who I haven't talked to in a while or whatever and tell them that I love them. People who voted for Trump, people who like Trump or whatever. I'm going to tell them that I love them. You should do the same.
I mean, that seems like hard to argue with.
Yeah, whatever. You know, so, but she got a lot of crap for that. And so people were saying, you shouldn't. Right. I mean, this is so some people are saying they're calling for unity. Some people, not all, but some people are saying we need unity, blah. And then people got pissed off at her for saying, I'm going to go love my family, people in my family who actually supported Trump. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And they said that they're like, you know, because these people are supporting racism, they're supporting misogyny, they're supporting sexism, they're supporting, you know, white supremacy, all this crap. And so they went at her and said, don't do that. If you do that, then you should shun your family or
oh
shun
my gosh.
Support them. So you can't win, right? There's no winning. There's no winning. We can't win with these people because no matter what, it's kind of like AOC's like, we need a list of these people. We need to have a list of people who supported him, put them on some sort of a Nazi list, and we need to take these people down. We need to ruin their careers. We need to ruin their lives. We need to just ruin them because this is what she wants to do. And I would imagine a lot of people want that because it's from the beginning, it's been about if you don't go with the groupthink, we want to destroy you. And that is not American in any way.
That's like 100% full-blown commie.
Yeah, it's totally fascist.
That's not who we are.
Totally fascist. And so I just refuse to get on board with that in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the reasons that I'm just like, no.
We need a divorce.
We need a divorce.
I go back and forth because, man. Yeah. I mean, some of the things that the left wants are just pure batshit, and I can't be down with that. And it's so irreconcilable with America.
Yeah.
And so they don't want America to be America. So
yeah.
I don't know how we reconcile.
But the difference is that we can be civil. Like, yeah. I think people on the right can be civil. I mean, that's one thing that we can, which in a way I'm kind of like,
civility is overrated.
I'm not saying that we should go to war with these people, but
right.
I mean, I think that that's always been sort of our, I don't think it's not the only thing, but that's been one of our downfalls as a party and as conservatives. We're very polite. You know, we've always been really polite, which is why Donald Trump was such a shakeup to the system. Mm. He is not polite. He's like the first conservative in forever that is just not polite. He hurt people's feelings. He said the things. And it's like, you know, I'm sorry that you have to put a pair of testicles on to understand the guy. But I think that's why a lot of people because he wasn't an establishment guy, that's really the number one reason, but he just said the things and people can't deal with that.
They
just can't. They can't.
They cannot.
Know?
you know, we're in a point of time right now where we still don't know how this election is going to go. And it's going to be really interesting to watch it all shake out. But again, if it does end up being that people are convinced, you know, with the data that Joe Biden has won, then I think conservatives are going to be like, well, all right. Yeah. I'm glad to see the data. Now let's move on and we'll fight for the next time.
Right.
Whereas if Trump is declared the winner, our cities will be burned down. And that is the primary difference. That's what separates left and right. And that's disgusting.
And well, that should tell you everything. That
exactly.
If you are one of those like five people that are still on the fence, that should tell you what direction to go in. I mean, for crying out loud, get a grip.
Yeah. Yeah, once you do get engaged, if you're disengaged right now and you do get engaged, just remember that basic fact.
Right. That should tell you everything you need to know about what side you should be on.
Yeah.
It's that if you're a thinking, normal, rational human being, I would hope that you would be able to figure that one out pretty quickly. Yeah.
I am very pleased to report that we got some very nice reviews this week on the iTunes Apple podcast platform. You should be subscribing if you're not already. There's one from Crafty Clough that says, love them chicks. I love Mock and Daisy. They say what they think while being educated on subjects that they speak on. They don't care if you disagree with them and are not ashamed of what they believe in. These are my kind of chicks.
I love
it. Which is great. Tamagotchi, hope I'm saying that right, says, I've been listening to your radio show with my dad for years, and I love this podcast. I listen to it while I work out, and it's getting dangerous because sometimes I'll laugh in the middle of an exercise.
I love it.
As a senior in college at a regrettably very liberal university, I love the way that you guys keep spreading truth, common sense, and laughter. I love that someone in college is listening because, man, those are like indoctrination centers, right?
Right, I know. And they're probably going to just get worse.
I know. Tana Tuck said, hi, ladies. I'm so happy I found you chicks. I'm a Northern Cali girl, the real Northern Cali. San Fran is not Northern Cali. We are a conservative bunch up here in Redding. I feel like I found my peeps with you two. I love God. I drink Starbucks, drink water from my Yeti, and I swear a lot.
I love
Mock,
it.
I know. Mock, your laugh warms my heart. And Daisy, I love your realness. I watch your Facebook Live, listen to the radio, listen to your podcast. Keep it up, ladies. You bring joy to so many, myself included. Thank you from Tanya B.
I love it.
And then lastly, I've got something from Megan C. Hanna, who says, as a conservative woman in the California Bay Area, it's hard to find real talk from non-libs. So happy I found you two. Not only do you tell it like it is, but you make me laugh too. Such a breath of fresh air amongst all the BS.
Fantastic. Those are so great. That just warms my heart. I love all of those. Those are so good. We need that. That's fuel. And you know what? It says like a lot of those are saying that we make them laugh. The last two that we've done have been so like, you know, everybody's been so stressed out and we've been talking about such buttoned up politics. We need to probably like find somebody to make fun of next week. You know?
That's usually like, not very hard for us.
Right.
We need to go to Ashley Judd's Instagram and it'll be fine.
Right. We need something lighthearted next week because we've been like everything has been so heavy the past couple weeks. I feel like we owe it to ourselves and to everybody out there to just, you know, throw some fun into the mix.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I agree. Anyway. Next week is going to be fun, light, fun.
We need some fun, you guys. We all need some fun. Dang it. So
in
we'll
the
work
meantime,
on that.
Make sure to follow us on all the things, Twitter and Parler, Instagram at Chicks on Right, Facebook, Chicks on the Right. And then our website, Chicks on Right or Chicks on the Right. You can go to either. You'll get right to our website and our YouTube channel. Very important that you're on our YouTube channel in case Facebook shuts us down. On YouTube, we are the Mock and Daisy Show. And obviously subscribe to this wonderful podcast, which promises to be light and fun next week.
Right. I mean, I have no idea what we're going to talk about, but we'll figure it out. This is what we
That's
do.
Right.
But we're going to try to make it fun, you guys. We're going to try to
That's
do that.
That's exactly
just
right.
For you. There's too much heaviness in the world. So we're going to try to find like a good monkey labor story that Mock found last week for her show, you know?
Yes.
Like
the more monkey stories, the better.
Right. We'll find something really awesome for you. We'll do it for you
That's
guys.
Right.
Anyways, have a fantastic week, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday on the Three Martini Lunch as we dissect the day's good, bad, and crazy news. Each day, you'll get our original and fun insights into everything from presidential politics to the war on punctuation to Jim's hammering the media's pathetic efforts to turn Andrew Cuomo into a hero.
And he's got everything. He's got the personality. He's got the brother. He's got the charm. He's got the jokes. Greg, he's got everything except the actual success.
Subscribe to the Three Martini Lunch at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.